It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing Way.
Good morning, everyone. It's Tuesday, the 8th of August. May God bless you today with his rich, abundant blessings. So glad to have you with us. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, Undreamed Of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Gracious Heavenly Father, loving Lord, we thank you for this time to come together to be able to open up your word and to worship you. We thank you for your loving watch care throughout the night. And now we ask that you would anoint the words of our pastor as you allow us to be fed our morning manna. Give us a lesson we need to know, Lord. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ, the Master's Chorale.
It's about time for the coming of It's about time, oh Christian, it's about time, it's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about
Exodus 23, brothers and sisters. Wonderful life lessons from Exodus 23. It's a beautiful chapter. And we're going to see as we study this chapter that anybody who believes that everything Moses wrote was nailed to the cross that person's in trouble, because we wouldn't even know where to go. We wouldn't know what to do. A lot of things we practice today are the result of things Moses wrote. What was nailed to the cross, we will find, were the ceremonial things, the things that pointed forward to Christ, the ordinances that pointed forward to Christ, my friend. That included some annual Sabbaths that we called holy days, from which we get the term holiday. Your holidays happen annually, okay? That's not the weekly Sabbath, but the annual ones, the feast. So that being said, we're going to dig into some of these wonderful life lessons today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for just waking us up this morning. We want to give you glory, honor, and praise, and we want to try our best not to take for granted the wonderful provision of life that you've given to us. We've awakened, clothed in our right minds, and even if we're not, we've awakened. And so we praise you. We give you glory and honor, and we pray that this lesson that gives us life lessons will truly be taken to heart, in Jesus' name. Amen. I was going to skip these lessons and go right into the sanctuary, which is mentioned in Exodus 25, but I just couldn't skip it because it teaches us, brothers and sisters, that a lot of things that we do believe to be right, we got from the Bible. The Bible is the book that guides us into all truth. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus prayed that prayer to his Father. He said his word was truth. Jesus said, and the Bible says in Luke chapter, I think is it Luke 7:27? I forget. But it says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I think it's Luke 24. But the point being made is, all scripture given by inspiration of God. That's also mentioned in the New Testament. So the point being made is that the only Bible that the New Testament writers had was the Old Testament. They were writing the rest of it. So when they referred to the scriptures, they weren't referring to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, or Revelation. They were talking about Matthew, Mark. I'm sorry, they were talking about Genesis through Malachi. I know them, but I'm not going to take the time to quote those. Okay, you get the point. All right, so we sometimes try to dismiss that, and we say, oh, we're New Testament Christians. A New Testament Christian had its basis in the Old Testament. Okay, so reading Exodus 23, thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked, to be an unrighteous witness. Friends, how many people get bribed into lying on somebody, falsely, or just tell lies to convict somebody? The Bible says we're not supposed to do that. That's in the Old Testament. Friends, you're going to throw that away? You're going to just act like that's not in the Bible, okay, and say that that's part of the law that was done away with at the cross? That's why we have so much foolishness in this world today, so many lying on people to get them convicted or thrown out of the church or whatever it is. The Bible says, don't do it. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. If we followed that, there would be no Crips, there would be no Bloods, there would be no gangs, there wouldn't even be church members in a clique. Have mercy. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. Okay? That's to turn after many to pervert judgment. A lot of people just try to get the majority on their side. That's what we have in the Democratic Party. That's what you have in the Republican Party. They just want to try to get the majority. So people aren't stupid, brothers and sisters. Everybody knows that the insurrection took place and that the former president incited it. Okay, that's whether he's convicted of that or not. Everybody knows that. Now, I love former President Trump. He's human. He makes mistakes. He's a sinner. He needs to be saved by grace. He can be saved by the grace if he chooses to. Everybody knows the Bible doesn't countenance but homosexuality. They can twist the scriptures and hire PhDs in higher levels of education to try to come up with idealisms that pervert that and say that, oh, it, Sodom and Gomorrah was all about the crime of forcible rape, not about men sleeping with men. Brothers and sisters, the Bible is very clear. Deuteronomy chapter, I believe it's chapter 18, verse 22. A man's not supposed to sleep with a man. It's wrong, brothers and sisters. You can't be fruitful and multiply. That was what Adam and Eve could do, not Adam and Steve. And so it is a perverted sexual practice, friends, and there are many perverted sexual practices. We just learned yesterday about a man is not supposed to sleep with an animal. There is this perversion called bestiality. We're not supposed to do that, friends. And so the Bible gives us these wonderful teachings in the Old Testament. All right, don't follow a multitude to do evil. Verse 3, neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his cause. Some people take the side of the oppressed even if they're wrong, or they take the side of the underdog even in their wrongness. Brothers and sisters, I did not march in any Black Lives Matter marches. I did not support that movement. Is it because I don't believe Black Lives Matter? That's ridiculous. Sure, my life matters, others' lives matter. But that was to push homosexuality. That was the end goal of Black Lives Matter. The millions of dollars raised didn't go to help the Black community for the most part. It went to promote homosexuality. It was started by two lesbians that were proclaimed, affirmed Marxist. That's pretty much mob rule, okay? Where the it's a government where you can get all the people on your side and push for overthrow and change. That's not God's plan. God doesn't use force. God doesn't even use majority. God uses principles of right. And so if one person is teaching what is right in God's eyes, that person is in the majority. Okay, so I'm just here to say you have a lot of countenancing a poor man in his cause. Some people, even right now, because they say President Trump is being under attack, they're supporting him when in actuality what he's promoting is not constitutional, a constitutional republic or democracy. It's kind of like a dictatorship rule. And the same thing on the other side, brothers and sisters. We look at Black Lives Matter as just an example, but the homosexuality movement. If you say something negative about homosexuality, oh, you're violating somebody's rights. No, you're not violating somebody's rights when you tell the truth. Do not countenance a poor man, a person that the world would look at a disadvantage in his cause. That's talking about if he's doing the wrong thing, because we'll learn later that, yes, we're supposed to help our brothers and sisters, even our enemies, supposed to help them if they see, if we see them in need. If thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. How many of you would do that? You got an enemy, a person that's trying to hurt you, and his ox and his ass has gone astray, and you just happen to see it. What would you do? Oh, forget him. He tried to hurt me. I'm not going to help rescue his ox or his ass. And I'm not speaking of a human. Of course, we're talking about the animal here. That could have sounded a little differently, depending on its use in context. So you understand what I'm saying, brothers and sisters. The Bible said you should. You see, we're not supposed to have grudges and evil thoughts. And you see, sometimes somebody was taught to be your enemy. And when you start helping them, they start realizing, oh, man, I thought all white people were bad. Then they get some help from somebody. They say, all of them aren't bad. Some people just were raised to think all black people are bad. Then a black person helps them when they're in need, and they say, wow, that person was black, you know? No, that person was a person. You just were lied to growing up, okay? So the bottom line is you can win some of these people, brothers and sisters, by acts of kindness. That's what God is trying to help us understand. We are not to hold grudges and not try to help someone. Now, that doesn't mean you go and look for getting into your enemy's business and try to find what need they have. But if you just happen to run across and you see the ox going astray, bring it back to the enemy. Don't have to just give him a smile, give him his ox back, and you keep moving forward. If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden and wouldest forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. oh, brothers and sisters, you see your enemy's ox is all messed up and he's too weak and he fell down under his burden. You are to help that animal, even if it's the animal of your enemy. Thou shalt not rest the judgment of thy poor in his cause. Now, see, this is the opposite. You're not supposed to support a poor person in his cause. That means if it was a cause of evil. But now you're not supposed to pervert the judgment of thy poor. Oh, man, you know, this is this poor old guy. He's just probably, you know, a lot of this is, happens in policing. Sometimes they don't feel like they have to, you know, protect all your rights. Oh, he's just a banger, they might say. He's just a gang banger. They don't have to treat him right. No, brothers and sisters, all that kind of stuff would not happen if people followed the Old Testament of the Bible, the principles in the Old Testament. We are not to, just because we can make somebody happy or help our rich friends or whatever, that we take something from the poor. That's not supposed to happen, brothers and sisters. No, not at all. And so God has a plan for his people. And it is not what you see here. All right. Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked. Oh, did you catch that? Keep thee far from a false matter. We get involved in lies against people, and it says, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not. Oh, brothers and sisters, if we followed this counsel, there would not be need for an innocence project. We would not need to have a situation where people are lied on purposely. You know, that's a violation of this principle, friend. The innocent and righteous slay thou not. You wouldn't get involved in some smear campaign against somebody. Thou shalt take no gift. That's a bribe. For the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous. How many judges take bribes? How many police officers take bribes? How many state officials take bribes? How many politicians take bribes? And they can do it in a different way. So, hey, you know, they'll just send you a hint. If you vote this way, if you do this, I got this scholarship fund, and I'll make sure your child gets into Yale or into Harvard. You know, they have ways of disguising the bribes. But the point being made is we're not supposed to take them. Also, thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger, seeing you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Oh, my brothers and sisters, we're not supposed to do anything harmful to people. We are supposed to be helpful even to those not of our nationality. And 6 years thou shalt sow thy land and gather in the fruits thereof, but the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field shall eat. In like manner, thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and thy olive yard. I have talked to people who are professionals in agriculture, and they have told me that it is actually good for the soil not to cultivate it every year, but give it a year's rest on the seventh. And what some of them do, because this is not, they're not required to, this was, you know, it was also to help the poor in that situation, and that we don't live in that kind of society. But what they do is that they'll just, you know, have two different spots and make sure that they rotate. So if I'm gardening over here on the seventh year, I let that rest. But, you know, I'm gardening over here at that time, you know. So, you know, the bottom line is they were fully agricultural. So there would still be enough food just naturally growing up from the previous year for people to eat. But they would take a break from the harvesting. So you'd have to basically have 1 year break in every seven where you didn't actually go out and have to make a living during agriculture, but you just lived off the land, whatever grew. 6 days shalt thou do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thine handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. Friends, we were supposed to rest on the Sabbath. This isn't part of the Ten Commandments, but this is a repeating of the Sabbath commandment, my friends, that God gave so that everyone gets to rest and be refreshed. In all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect. That means be guarded, be conscientious, and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. You know, some things we just shouldn't talk about. We talk about the things that, you know, lead toward idolatry, and we just talk about them. Oh, I'm not going to do it, but I'm just talking about it. No, don't even mention other gods. Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in a year. Now, this is the ceremonial, talking about the ceremonial Sabbath. There were seven of them, but they were required to all of the men and many of the women get together three times a year, and it was during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Harvest, which was Pentecost, which was 50 days after Passover, and then the Feast of Ingathering. I'll tell you what they represented. The Unleavened Bread Feast represented the cross of Christ and the days in within that frame time frame. It represents Calvary, in other words, what Jesus did for us on the cross. The Feast of Harvest represented the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. So God wanted us to think of the cross. He wanted us to remember the work of the Holy Spirit. And the ingathering was dealing with the second coming of Christ. That's when we're all gathered in, okay? So think about it. They would be reminded every year of the death of Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus returning. What a blessing, friends. If we would just think about it, the work of the cross, what Jesus did for us on the cross, how he sent his Holy Spirit to be our companion, guide, and support. And then we're preparing for Jesus to come. What a wonderful reminder. Thou shalt keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee in the time appointed in the month of Abib. For in it thou camest out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the Feast of Harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field. And the Feast of Ingathering. So again, it was Pentecost, and then Ingathering, the Feast of Harvest, the Feast of Ingathering. That was when the Holy Spirit was poured out, and the other represents the second coming of Christ, which is in the end of the year, which thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. Three times in a year all thy male shall appear before the Lord God. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning. There are scriptures letting us know that leaven is a symbol of sin. We should get rid of the old leaven of malice. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 5:8, keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. That's 1 Corinthians 5:8. And the Bible speaks of sin being like the fat of rams. Okay, so the bottom line is this was symbolic of them getting rid of sin. The first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring unto the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk. Now, of course, we can understand the first fruits of the land that we would bring into the house of God. That means we, in our day, the best that we have, the first of what we have, we should give to God. That's a tithing principle. That is a dedication of your children principle. You know, at the beginning of their life, dedicate them to God. That's how we would apply that today. I don't know the meaning of thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk. I don't eat kids, and I don't drink the milk today. But it is proposed that that was a pagan practice. It was some kind of a symbolic pagan ritual. So the children of Israel, being exposed to that, were tempted to do the same. I don't know that. I can't prove that. There are some that say that's true, some that say that's not. I'm telling you my ignorance on this point. I don't know what that means. Except I know what the act means. I don't know what the symbolism. I don't know if there's some health reason for it. I don't know. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice and provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then will I be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hevites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. God's promises angelic protection to the children of Israel. He said the angel of the Lord would go before them, but when the angel tells them what to do, they should obey. And God would be an enemy to their enemies. Friends, that's what I want. You know, God is our protection. God is our source of strength, and he will be an enemy to our enemies if we trust him. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Isn't that beautiful? They were promised that as they served God, they would not get sick. That's why we have the health message. It started in the Old Testament, brothers and sisters. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days will I fulfill. This is part of the promises that God would bless them with. I will send my fear before thee and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. That means the enemies that try to come kill you, they're going to run. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, the Hittite from before thee. And I will drive them out from before thee in one. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. God is so merciful. He's not just going to drive them all out. He's going to drive them out little by little so that wild animals don't multiply and come and attack God's people. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. God wants us to do what's right. When you serve other gods, you're serving the devil, and he doesn't like you. He just wants to get you all caught up in sin and then wipe you out. When you are killed at last, if you die the second death, if you don't give your heart to Christ, then you pay for your own sin. All those who are saved at last, the devil has to also pay for their sin. Did you know that? The devil's got to burn for your sin if you are saved. That's why he doesn't want you to be saved, friends, because he's got to pay that much more of a penalty. God is so merciful. I hope these life lessons have been a blessing to you. They've surely been a blessing to me. And we're going to have prayer at this time. Thank you, Father, for these life lessons. Help us to be righteous, fair, even caring for our enemy. If we see them, run into them in need, we recognize the balance. We're not supposed to just go and try to find them and be all in their business. But, Lord, you sometimes will use their mishaps to try to reach them. Well, they see a contrast between how they treat people and how they are treated. We just thank you so much for keeping us and teaching us to stay far from a false matter. And the innocent and righteous slay thou not. We pray that you would bless as we continue in worship and wellness this morning and prepare to hear a health message. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, we are going to take a break with our song, and we'll be coming back hearing from Sister Donna. She's going to read Blessings from Obeying Natural Law. Blessings from Obeying Natural Law. Okay, it's time for the torso song at this time.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know. God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases, the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered, and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. So when you indulge and you run from the scale, the battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
this song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave, in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
We'll now hear from Sister Donna on the subject, the blessings from obeying natural law. Sister Donna. We can't hear you. You might be muted. Sister Donna, if you're there, we can't hear you. You might be muted. I'm pretty sure I've got you unmuted on my end.
Yes, you do. Thank you very much.
All right.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Blessings from obeying natural law. This reading comes out of chapter 5 of the book Healthful Living, a compilation of writings from Ellen G. White. Blessings from obeying natural law. Those who understand something of the wisdom and beneficence of his laws and perceive the evidences of God's love and the blessings that result from obedience will come to regard their duties and obligations from an altogether different point of view. Instead of looking upon the observance of the laws of health as a matter of sacrifice and self-denial, they will regard it as it really is, an estimable blessing. All our enjoyment and suffering may be traced to obedience or transgression of natural law. God, the creator of our bodies, has arranged every fiber and nerve, sinew and muscle, and has pledged himself to keep the machinery in order if the human agent will cooperate with him and refuse to work contrary to the laws which govern the human system. A careful conformity to the laws which God has implanted in our being will ensure health, and there will not be a breaking down of the Constitution. God has pledged himself to keep this machinery in healthful action if the human agent will obey his laws and cooperate with him. Every thou shalt not, whether in physical or moral law, contains or implies a promise. If it is obeyed, blessings will attend our steps. He requires us to obey natural law to preserve physical health. If Christians will keep the body in subjection and bring all their appetites and passions under the control of enlightened conscience, feeling it a duty that they owe to God and to their neighbors to obey the laws which govern health and life, they will have the blessing of physical and mental vigor. They will have moral power to engage in the warfare against Satan, and in the name of him who conquered appetite on their behalf, that being Christ in the wilderness, they may be more than conquerors on their own account. If laborers who are now in the field had intelligently used their physical and mental powers according to the laws of hygiene, they would not only have been able to become proficient in common branches of education, but would have been versed in different languages, and thus would have been qualified to become missionaries in foreign countries. The souls and bodies of people have been fast becoming a corrupted mass of disease. This would not have been the case if those who claim to believe the truth had lived out its sacred principles in their lives. And if man had obeyed the laws of Jehovah in his natural laws, the image of God would have been revealed in him. Thank you, and have an awesome day.
Amen. Amen. Praise God for that. Benefits of obeying natural law. It's time for our roll call. We have Georgia. We have Virginia. We have South Carolina. That's on Facebook. And on the call, we have Ohio. We have Ohio again. We have Pennsylvania. We have Maryland. We have Delaware, 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 and Delaware again. We have New Jersey. We have Oklahoma. And we have Ohio again. God bless each one of you. If anyone has any comments or questions, please feel free. Press star 6. I'll go ahead and read what we have on Facebook. We have a wonderful good morning greeting from Sister Vicky, and we have a good morning greeting from Sister Salita. Friends, please, please, please go to the website, torso.org. If you go there, you will see a YouTube video, and just in case YouTube takes it off, there's a Rumble video. It's the same video. It is the first class of our first lesson of our 13-lesson course on that certifies you to be a holistic wellness coach, holistic with a W, biblical wellness coach. You could think of it that way, but we use the term holistic wellness coach. The first class was presented last Sunday, and it is free, that first lesson, that is. So we have it up. You will be able to go and watch our Torso Flow Learning System in action, and that's part of the presentation. And we give you a little snippet of the practical demonstrations that will be done and shown to the students. They were pre-recorded. That's how it's being allowed to be done on Zoom, pre-recorded video, primarily my wife doing presentations on various natural remedies. We covered all 12 systems, and there are remedies within those 12 systems. There is a textbook, and at present, it is approximately 500 pages. 500 pages of very illustrious flowcharts and illustrations like that, with wonderful information allowing you to learn in a fraction of the time for a fraction of the cost. This virtual course, my friends, is less than half the price of when it will be online. So once we load it online, we have additional expenses and things that we have to do with that. And so it will be more expensive. So for $650, and payment plans are allowed. We have 4 payment plans. We're trying to, for the most part, try to get things, done by the end of the year. But we want you to know that you don't have to come up with $650 all at one time. And for $650, friends, I'm going to tell you, the textbook is worth hundreds of dollars just by itself, the textbook. This textbook that I presently have, it's going to be much more expanded. And you'll get a copy of that as part of your training. Okay, so don't miss this opportunity. Tell others, and even if they miss the first class, they can watch the video, so they'll have the first class under their belt. The next class is August 27th, okay, August 27th. So that's Sunday from 10 to 12. It's going to be every Sunday thereafter, skipping September 10. And then that means the last Sunday, the 12th, was the 13th lesson, but the 12th system will be covered on August the 19th. Certificates rendered soon thereafter, and that'll all be done before the Thanksgiving holiday, something to give thanks for. Friends, you'll learn how to do what we do, how to start a lifestyle center. In other words, you'll know how to treat these diseases. And if you just have faith and you get started, God will bless you. But this training is invaluable. So it's being offered. We did have a Zoom conference, and there were over 100 people that were getting in, so it capped out at 100. But we will change that by the time the next school takes place, and we don't know that we'll have 100 students. Everybody could come free. So we'll see how many people finally register. But we're going to make sure that if it ends up being more than 100 that are interested in doing it, they'll be able to come in and join. So, friends, please, can't stress enough, if you are able to get in this course, please do so. There's no one in the queue. We'll give you a few more moments if anybody has any comment or question. Again, just go to our website, torso.org. Just scroll down. You will see the what am I trying to say? You'll see the video, so you can watch it. And what I recommend is that you I recommend that you actually share it with others. It's free, so just share that lesson with others. If nothing more, it will educate them, and they will understand that God has a health plan. They will understand the simplicity of how to deal with disease. Okay, so definitely spread the word about that video that's out, but do let people know who you might feel. They do not have to be of any particular faith. That's not what this is about. This is about people learning how to help others. And we know God's people who do follow the Ten Commandments. We will need this information. As religious aggression subverts the liberties of our nation, the statement says, those who would stand for freedom of conscience will be placed in unfavorable positions. For their sake, they should, while they have opportunity, become intelligent in regard to disease, its causes, prevention, and cure. God has given us a learning system. We call it Torso Flow. It uses flow charts, so you can learn very quickly what it takes others years to learn. You can learn in a short time. So we're excited. We're just excited, but we need your prayers. There's a lot of material that we still have to put together. Not that we don't have the material. It's just putting it all together, getting it right in the slides, getting it properly put in the book so that, you know, when the students get started, they'll have a textbook that they can refer to. So anyway, that's good. Let me check one more time. Yes, there's three people in the chat, I mean, in the this queue. All right, we're going to take Sister Donna. Good morning.
Yes. Pastor, I just wanted to say that I sat in the class last Sunday, and it was very informative, and it gave a layout of the concept of the Torso Flow curriculum, and I'm excited because it is going to be very informative, but it's not going to be complicated. Most of these classes are based on modality or the types of remedies that you can use. And I've taken quite a few medical missionary courses. That's how I, you know, was able to move forward. But they usually base them either on the remedies that you're going to use or the type of modality that you're going to use, be it herbals or, you know, massage or things like that. But your course is based on the systems of the body. That helps it to be specific. Not only does it help it to be specific, but then you filter down into the various diseases that affect those systems. And that knocks out about, for me, and I went to, I had to take medical courses for my licensed massage. That knocks out about 2 years of study, because you spend 2 years of studies, first of all, learning the system, and then they do a few diseases, but it's mostly based on diseases. Yours is based on the system. That makes it so simple and easy. And I just want to take the time to give God the honor, glory, and praise
for you and your wife and what you're doing, and to thank you for this course. And although I know this stuff, I am taking your course, and I am referring people into it. So thank you. And then my second thing is that I wanted to request prayer for my family, please, and for God's Remnant Church, because I've been visiting some churches, and I see a lot of cliques. And in listening to your reading today, that should not be. If you're gonna be in a clique, be in Jesus' clique. Thank you, everybody. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, sister. Thank you. And we are now going to Michelle. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. I had a phrase this morning. Last week I had many, many things to ask for prayer. The youngest grandbaby, Hunter, who was born with the congenital glaucoma, we had his follow-up Friday down at Riley's Hospital in Indianapolis. And his pressures look good in his eyes, and they don't want to see us back for 3 months. He don't have to have any eye drops. He is having a little bit of, they suspect, some reflex issues because he's doing a lot of arching of his head backwards and stuff. So we did start him on a little bit of medicine, but they've also got a neurology consult. Hoping that it is just a temporary reflex issue while he's an infant right now, but he's doing well. You know, the eye thing was a big issue for us. So we were very thankful that after having two eye surgeries in June back-to-back on his little eyes, that everything is looking good there, so that's good. Still need continued prayer for my son who has a 3-year-old son with incurable brain cancer.
Okay.
And then him and his girlfriend just lost a baby Wednesday. So, but I also want to say that I'm excited about this class starting. So.
Amen.
Sorry.
Amen. It's all right. It's all right. We understand. We understand. We're praying for you.
I don't think I've actually cried about all this stuff. It's really weird that it came out today because I haven't actually cried a whole lot about all these different things going on with my grandchildren. But God is good. That is for sure. But I'm very excited for starting the class at the end of this month and trying to start prepping my body and start moving my way the way it needs to be.
Amen.
But thank you.
You're welcome. Just know that you can cry on this broadcast. We are your family, my friend. We are your family. Amen? Amen. All right, we're going to go ahead and take Sister Wanda. Good morning.
Good morning. God bless to you all, to everyone. My sister, I just, you know, compassionate with you. And I just praise God for feelings, and God gave us emotions and feelings. And thank God that I'm reminded that He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But I praise God for your faith in Him, because I hear, you know, your faith in Him. Even the trials that come, that is hard to bear sometimes, but it's, you know, I think of Job, the faith of Job, but most important, the faith of God. And may God bless you and your family, and as well as my other sister praying for her family. I'm in need of a prayer from my family as well. But I got on the call to say, first of all, I was fighting sleep this morning, and so I kind of was in and out of the message of devotion, and unfortunate for me, because what I, you know, did glean was going through that just yesterday on the job, and so I know it was a message for me I should have heard, and I don't know if you do recordings on this line in the morning, but just a little bit, that was just so powerful, and that's my prayer, is that we would have such the love of Jesus. I'm claiming Psalms 119, verse 165, you know, that says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I want that so bad in my life, so that God may be glorified. And thank you for the message, and thank you for this ministry, and God bless.
God bless you, too. Just for the record, we have two ways to listen to morning messages. You can call a playback number, which is 267-807-9613. Okay, that's 267-807-9613. It will ask you for an access code. The access code is 635-270-pound.
I am not ready.
No. I'm just putting this out there. I'll text this to you. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much.
I'm ready, even though somebody might be, but we do. I'm just giving the process because that way it was explained. So you have to put in an access code. Now, when this broadcast is over, it'll be 24 hours roughly before the next broadcast. Really, 23 hours because you know it takes an hour for the broadcast. So if you dial all of the things that I'm telling you, you put in the code for one day, you'll be able to listen to this broadcast. After that, you have to have a pin. If you want a particular broadcast, you have to be able to do that. So what we do, though, we have Tyvina, who is part of the ministry, and she uploads the broadcast to torwm.org. I'll text that to you as well. So it's usually within 24 hours, you should be able to go to a website and just be able to click a link, and you can watch the video on Facebook or just listen to the audio while you're walking. So that's where most people go. They actually go to a website and get it. It's just that if you need it instantly, the phone, as soon as this is over, it'll be available on a telephone. But if you want to wait for the website within 24 hours, it'll be up at torwm.org. So I'm just answering the question, but I'll text all that information to you, my dear sister.
Thank you. I know it's almost the top. Also, I forgot to ask, what is good? And I like how you put that out there real quick, and you probably didn't even realize you did, but you said while you're walking, with an encouragement and a reminder to do that.
Yes,
but what's good for what is good for burns? Like if you get a fall and a scrape and a burn and it's, you know, bleeds and stuff and burns.
If you can catch it real quickly, you want to try to use some Epsom salt. Epsom salt is really, really, really good for burns. So like if you put a tiny bit of water in some Epsom salt, I put it in a cup or whatever. Like, let's say you burn your finger. You put a tiny bit of water in there till it's like a slush. You know, we used to drink those little slushy drinks, and you want it to be a slush. It's so easy to put too much water in there and dissolve it. You want it to be like a slush and just immerse your finger in there. So if you make a slush, you got to burn, and then you just keep that, put some, just lay it on there and just kind of wrap it up with some cloth. That's going to be really helpful. Honey is also good for burns. So, you know, you want to
open sore when it's bleeding.
Yeah, honey won't hurt you. Won't hurt you.
Thank
now, if
you.
It's an open, it won't hurt at
thank
all.
Thank you.
Once it's, you know, kind of, you know, even castor oil is good for that. So just be aware of that.
Thank you.
All right, then. God bless you. Friends, again, we want to remind you that go to torso.org, scroll down, watch the class that you missed, and consider signing up. We'll read all about it. Sign up. We have got to go on there and change some things because the textbook is going to be larger than what we stated. And so that textbook, my friends, again, is worth hundreds of dollars even by itself. And so and we just got a text. Ice, that's correct. Ice is very good. Burn. So, you know, especially right away, put some ice on it. All right, my friends, God is good. Thank you all for joining us today. And at this time, we'll turn it over to my wife, Andreemda, for our closing prayer at this time.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We want to keep before you our dear sister Michelle, her grandchildren. We understand that they are going through some very unfortunate challenges with the grandchildren. We pray for the son who has a child whose son, I believe, has brain cancer, and recently they just lost a baby. We can't even imagine what these parents are having to experience and what how troubled their minds and hearts must be feeling right now. But we ask you to bring comfort to this entire family and all of those that are affected by what is happening. We ask for a recovery to be granted, for healing to be there, for restoration to be in these small bodies, Lord. We only know that it is by your grace and your will, your purpose, that you will allow for these things to come into fruition. So we ask that you would do so in accordance with your perfect will. We want to keep Sister Donna and her family in prayer, and she's also asking prayer for the Remnant Church. You know all of the problems going on with your church, Lord. This is your church. Nothing is hidden from your eyes, and we just pray that you will work out every member's heart and let us all truly love each other and be able to help one another as we can see your coming is ever so soon. I want to pray for the sister asking for prayer for herself and her family, and just whatever those petitions may be, we just want to touch and agree, Lord, that you will continue to bless them and help them. And we pray for everyone on the line because we're all going through trials and tribulations. No one has escaped from these things, but we do have you, and we are grateful that we can come to you trusting and believing that when we serve you, when we put our petitions before you, you are hearing and answering them, all on your perfect timing. We pray that you will grant special healing spiritually, mentally, and physically for those that are in need, and help to grant financial blessings as well. These things are prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part and say to God, let open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust.